So today, let's talk about time. Sounds good? What is time and is it real, unreal?
I know what Krishnamurti says and different people. And I think Krishnamurti would say that without motion, there is no time.
Okay.
And it's something that we note from the moment that we're probably born. Mm-hmm. You know, we get all this information that is very time oriented.
Right. It's almost like cultural conditioning, mm-hmm. is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, your birthday.
Yeah, right.
You go to school and the first thing they teach is time, watch the clock.
Okay.
So it's a
condition
notion. That
condition notion.
There seems to be the clock time, mm-hmm. and then the psychological time.
Right.
I think present moment is what matters, but it's hard to forget the past and hard to not worry about the future.
Okay.
And time is something we can see because of the changes that happen.
There was a real smart patent clerk about 100 years ago that said, time is an illusion, although it's a persistent one. I don't see time as existing in any shape or form.
Mm-hmm. Time is an illusion, although a persistent one. I think Einstein said that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the change is real. Cycles are real. Mm-hmm. Cycles, we can observe those, not just as it's universal, the other creatures can observe it.
Right.
And it's just a convenience human beings have decided to measure the rate of change mm-hmm. by some metric which happens to be time.
Wow. Awesome.
I want to quote, I just read this morning in the email, some of you might have read it. Mm-hmm. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, now is the gift, and perhaps that's why they call it a present.
Oh,
wow. Oh, that's good.
Beautiful.
I think my concept of time is like a work in progress right now.
Stephanie?
Time is just a man-made barometer.
Man-made barometer. All right. I was going to say something, but looks like it's been already said. Yeah, time, in my opinion, it's just a mental construct, a convention we use to measure or quantify change, movement, decay, and impermanence. It's a convenience. It's something that we have chosen so we all can get together here at 10 a.m. So I agree with what you said. Time is an illusion, and most of, in general, what is real? What do we call something real? I propose that which is experiential and universal is real. Fire, for example, you can experience fire. Ice, you can experience ice. Heat and cold is experiential, existential. We can experience joy, sorrow, very existential, experiential. Not only you, but all other beings, like a dog experiences the fire the way we experience, or an ant, or a bird, right? So, experiential and universal, because all beings are experiencing it the same way, right? Now let's put time to that litmus test, We can experience movement, we can experience change, somebody said, spring and we can experience impermanence. That's what we do here all the time. So these things are real, but not time. Because you can't experience it the way you can experience these things. The way you experience fire, ice, joy, sorrow. No. I mean, does your dog know that it is 10 a.m. or does the dog or a cat know the difference between Monday and Friday? I don't know any other mammal who knows the difference between Monday and Friday.
What about the season?
Like, sorry?
Season is also kind of time. So what about the season? Season is you.
Right. The animals experience the season, the change, but not the time.
No.
That it's 3 months or something like that.
I think they do sometimes. I think there's migrations, so many birds, butterflies migrate.
Right.
They have to have sense of time to do that.
Sense of change.
Yes.
Sense of change, sense
change
of movement. You would agree that no other mammal knows the difference between Monday and Friday, which means it's not a universal phenomenon, which means it's not real. Those two litmus tests, experientiality and universality, very easy. Past, what is past? Thoughts of memories, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? It's not like a place somewhere or you actually go in the past. It's in thoughts, thoughts of memories.
You can't change anything in the past, you know. You just use that. We live so much in past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are driven by time. Future. What is future? Thoughts of imagination, dreams, aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
Again, thoughts. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, where do these thoughts occur? In the present.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So, past is actually happening in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thoughts occur only in the present.
Mm-hmm.
The future is also happening in the present. So what's real? Really real?
Present.
The present. Past and future are basically thoughts which actually happen in the present. Why it is important to understand this? That the really real reality is the present, is because then we are not driven by the memories or our past, neither by our dreams and goals. So instead of memories or past ruling us, we rule the past. We rule the memories. You see? Instead of the future, the dreams and goals, the imaginations ruling us, we rule them. So it's not about not thinking about memories or not having dreams or goals. It's about who is in the driver's seat, you know? Wisdom is, we have to be in the driver's seat, not memories or dreams. I'm proposing two litmus tests for reality, which is experience and universality, right?
Okay.
Even clock time is not same for all. People who live in New York, London is different than here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clock time also is not same. So it's really just some kind of a convention, right? Because it is not universal. You know, the whole point of having this discussion is to realize that we are in charge and that we don't become time crazy. It's not that we should go out of here and behave as if time doesn't exist, you know. That would be irritating to a lot of people. It's just about not becoming time crazy, not being driven by time, you know. You can have deadlines, but the deadlines don't rule you. It's just your convention. Okay, I have a deadline. I'm going to meet the deadline. I will be punctual. But I'm not going to be driven by this thing and become hysterical and rush and be crazy about it. You know, I will work on Monday the same way I work on Friday.
Hmm.
Yeah. that kind of mental attitude, the pragmatic way of realizing or absorbing the wisdom that time is an illusion. Temporal experience, we give it a name, space-time. We no longer say time, we say space-time. So it's just that dimension, that convention for the temporal experience, meaning the experience of change or movement. And so that's another thing. There is no such thing as time, but there is space-time. Here is the mystery. We are saying time even as a dimension. It's just a dimension to locate you, okay, to find out where you are in space-time, right? Same with the dimension of height, width, and length. They actually don't exist. Do you know that your volume is actually zero? That's the reality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's perfect. A perfect truth. I mean,
interesting as much as you want.
That's also pretty much true. The universe is the total volume, or, you know, what's in it can all be crunched down to zero because it was at one point.
Right. So
I have a question for all you scientists.
Good.
As a spiritual person, why do I need to know this?
Good. We keep the dogma, doctrine, and belief out of the picture. So I don't want you to accept that time is an illusion because I'm saying so, or because some guru wrote it down, or because it's written in some ancient text, some spiritual literature. No. I'm using the tool of science, which has objectively, quote-unquote, experimentally proven that time is an illusion. So you have the experimental proof, and we use the meditation for experiential proof. You see? When you have experiential and experimental proof, there is absolutely no place for belief. No place for dogma or doctrine. And that way we keep our intellect pure, not allow it to be contaminated, and move on. So that's the beauty of converging science and spirituality, bringing them together.
Investigating,
inquiring, objectivity.
Yeah.
Experiential understanding is necessary. Yeah. Experimental understanding is favorable. It adds to your wisdom, but it's not necessary. Experimental. So, in a way, you are right. It's not really necessary to study theory of relativity and to understand time as a temporal dimension and to explore it further or to study time travel or so on and so forth. None of that is necessary, but it is favorable. It will bring perfection to your wisdom. You know, it will, see, it will polish your understanding. That's all. But there is no substitute for experiential understanding. Well, pragmatically speaking, the reason we have to understand that only the present is real, and especially Tina's comment about past and future, you know, to the extent we experientially cultivate that wisdom that only the present is real, to that extent, we will not be ruled or driven by our memories or past. To that extent, we will not be ruled or driven by our dreams and aspirations. That's all.